school, we had every kind of kid in my house all the time. So I should be the only person in the country allowed to talk about race. And yet, what I've seen more and more of in the past 30 years are well-meaning people who rolled out of some annoying suburb and then moved to New York and immediately began to try to regulate everyone's language and thoughts. People are so afraid of offending that they act like diversity doesn't even exist. As a result, there is this weird impulse in American culture today to say, we're all exactly the same. To celebrate diversity as long as you don't point out anyone's differences. If you ask people to describe somebody, they'll avoid saying their color. If pushed, their voice drops with shame and regret that they still think in those terms. You even hear cops going, even in the police blotter. The suspect was 5'10 and 280 pounds, and that's not fat shaming, we're just pointing it out. I'm tired of humorless activist people decreeing that we only use these words and never those, and that we check our privilege in case we say the wrong thing and trigger someone. Supposedly, non-judgmental judgmentalism used to be what Southern California was for, but now it's encroaching even here in New York, where people are supposed to come to judge things. It's not the place to recreate the boring suburban landscape of your childhood. I don't like being bossed around, and that's not using the word bossy in a gender-specific manner, especially when it comes to humor, and especially not by the least funny people on earth. Across the country, the sexist office asshole has been replaced by the flat affect, dead-eyed, modern-day Puritan. Both groups, the old-school assholes and the neo-Puritans, share a common goal, to wipe the smile off everybody's face. People who condemn other people for talking about race are usually members of what my friend Harry calls the never-been-punched-in-the-face club. Smug, obnoxious people who feel very confident in their ability to say anything they want about what other people should and shouldn't do because they never received a nice shot in the grill. New Yorkers used to be straight shooters and loudmouths. They spoke their mind. The opinionated cabbie, the construction worker, the counterperson, the merchant, old man at the bar, the guy selling pretzels. You can buy a better pretzel anywhere in the country, but what made the New York pretzel the best was the shitty, sarcastic attitude of the guy selling it. When I was growing up, tourists didn't come here for the Rockefeller tree or a nice place to bring your kids. They came to be told to fuck off by a real New Yorker. Native New Yorkers have always had the abrupt, honest tone we need when talking about race. It's better than today's lethally fake one. I'm sorry you feel that way. That's very interesting. I never thought about it like that. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that terminology. A strained smile of acceptance and a golf clap. So all the nuances go unexplored. There are degrees of racism. Yes, unlike a little bit pregnant, you can be a little bit racist. There's a difference between a white supremacist and a little old white lady who slightly clutches her purse when a black guy gets in the elevator with her. Between a white guy who doesn't hire black people and a white guy who flinches the tiniest bit when he sees a photo of his teenage daughter with her new friend at a Kendrick Lamar concert. This is not an ethic joke book. Drunk Irish, black guys with big dicks, bad Asian drivers, I don't want to deal with them because to do so would be to beat a dead horse, and I don't want to offend animal rights activists. Different cultures are different. If you go to Queens, you can see restaurant signs with pictures of exotic fish with human faces, flamingos fighting over a burrito on Roosevelt Avenue, roasted guinea pigs hang on a clothesline in Elmhurst, a mongoose spitting from a fire escape. That's what I want to talk about. These days, the supposedly enlightened response to most questions is, who's to say? My answer, everyone's to say. That used to be New York's motto. Trigger warning. This book may be harmful to impressionable adults. It may raise distressing, troubling, problematic concerns. It may be tone-deaf in today's climate, given the fact that it's coming from a place of white, Eurocentric, unconscious, paternalistic fear of the other. It may add to divisiveness. It may contain stereotypes or generalizing. If offended, please alert Twitter or your favorite local blogger. Chapter 1. Dashiki Red, Black, and Green. Nothing makes a room tense up faster than talking about black people when you're white. People will make jokes about Europeans all day long. Germans are Nazis. Everybody hates the French. But as soon as you start talking about people who aren't white and you're white, everybody gets anxious. Is this what we're striving for? Avoidance of the topic at all costs? Frozen smiles and polite, strained looks? To me, there are two routes to take when it comes to dealing with race. Stay separate and pretend we aren't different at all, or live together and acknowledge the ways in which race sometimes does actually matter.